We want on Pikuach Nefesh, the next one will be Amir Wanachri. The Bechina, I think, is next Thursday. The schedule missed this week's Chabura, I think. But it's Chabura this week.
I
don't know if he's going to make it up. Did he mention it?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right, so the Gemara tells us in Mesechta Yuma, Daf Pehei, Amid Beis, has a discussion about what is the source for the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. And the Gemara presents a number of possibilities, but really what emerges is two viable possibilities. One is from the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Vishamu B'nai Yisrael Sa Shabbos, Lasas Sa Shabbos. So you should keep Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos. Gemara says that implies Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishma Shabbos Es Harbe. You should keep Shabbos in a fashion that will allow you to be around next Shabbos to keep Shabbos. But if you're Shmira Shabbos this week, is going to preclude you from keeping Shabbos next week because you won't be alive next week. So then a person should not keep Shabbos in that fashion. Rather Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishma Shabbos Es Harbe. Then the Gemara presents another possibility, and this seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that is based on the pasuk of v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyomos b'hem, that you should live through the mitzvahs and not die through the mitzvahs. And the Gemara seems to prefer that reason, because the Gemara says all of the reasons that were presented, the sources were presented, have a pircha, except the last one. And the last reason also comes to include suffik pikuach nefesh, because whenever the Torah says something, we assume that it means it in an absolute. So v'chai b'hem implies you will certainly be alive. But if there's even a suffix that you won't be alive, so then one would be allowed to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, even if it's just a suffix sakana. What is considered to be a suffix sakana, a threshold, so included in B'chai B'hem is also suffix sakana. What rises to the threshold of a suffix sakana that you'd be allowed to violate Shabbos? So the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos Avelos quotes from the Chassam Sofer that if it's Echa Mine Elef Alfei Alofim, one in thousands, then that's not a significant enough suffix that would allow us to violate Shabbos. He's basing himself off of Bryce in the Masech Tesmachas that says that they used to bury people in vaults. And one time while they were burying someone in a vault, they heard someone knocking on the other vault, you know, let me out. And they had buried him not so recently, you know, recently, but he was, they obviously buried him alive. So we should be afraid. They already asked in the time of Chassam Sofer, perhaps we should wait 3 days before burying the mason to make sure that they're really dead. Even though there's an Easter involved of Halonas Hames, we try and bury mason usually as quickly as possible, but maybe we should delay the burial to make sure that they're really dead. You see arrive in the brides of Masech Tesmachos that this could happen. You could bury somebody, you could appear, present as being dead, even though he's not really dead. And you'll say, well, that really never happened. I mean, come on. If you read the news, you scan the news, this happens every 6 months. That you do it. I once printed it out for my shiur. But they came out every 6 months. There's another story like this, which is documented and legitimate. They thought someone was dead. He was presenting as dead, and then the person comes back to life. So should we be afraid for this and wait 3 days before we bury any of the masons? So says the Chassam Sofer, no, because even though it happens so irregularly, that so infrequently, that we are not only should we not be chayshish, we're not allowed to be chayshish for this. It's too infrequent. That would rise to the level that would even be considered to be a suffix sakana. Even though a person, you might read in the Inquirer as he's checking out at the grocery line, you know, man stubs toe and dies, you know, that happened, or, you know, ingrown toenail. But at the same time, obviously if it's very infected, that could happen. But, you know, man stubs toe and dies, it could happen once in, you know, Elef Alfei Alofim. But if a person calls Hatzalah and demands to go to the hospital because of a stubbed toe, we would refuse him, that's not significant enough grounds to be Mechal Shabbos. It has to be more frequent than that. On the other extreme, the Ramban quotes in the Torah HaAdam, and this is quoted by the Magen Avraham in the name of the Radvaz, that if it's a Miut HaMatzoi, it's more than 10%, and even if the person himself is refusing treatment, we would try and coerce him to accept treatment. Because he'd say, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, my whole life I've never been Mechal Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh, I'm not about to start now. But we know that it's indeed a dangerous situation, we would try and compel him to be Mechal Shabbos. It doesn't depend on whether or not you want to or not. Yeah, the mitzvah also of Vechai B'hem. But let's say it's somewhere in between. It's somewhere in between Echad Mine Elef Alfei Alofim, but it is not yet 10% of Miyat HaMatzoi. We are compelled to be Choshish for it. So it's somewhere in between. So what then is the status of such a situation? So that's a suffix sakana. If it's a suffix sakana, it's 1 in 10%. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. If it's less than Echamine Elef Alfei Alofim, that's not even a suffix sakana. It's too far-fetched. But if it's somewhere in between Echamini, Elif, Alfe, Alofim, and 10%, so if Shechter writes in the Big Fe Atzon, I've actually heard from that from other Poiskim as well. Not in our sphere over here, but elsewhere. Same argument, and that is that in such a situation, it would depend on a person's feelings. If he's nervous, so then it would be a suffix sakana, be allowed to be mechal Shabbos. If he's not nervous, so they would not consider it to be a suffix sakana, and he would not be obligated or allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So Shechter bases it on two stories that appear in the biography of the Chazon Ish, the Pe'er Hador. One is about during the bombings, that they were Second World War, they would determine where to bomb based on whether the lights were on in the house or not. So if the air raid siren went off, everybody had to turn off the lights. So the Chazon Ish wrote that if you're nervous, then you have you should turn out your lights. If you're not nervous, then you're not allowed to turn out the light. It depends on whether or not you're nervous or not. Because it's not a mir hamatzoi clearly, but yet at the same time, it's not echad mina elf alfei alofim. Or he quotes in the Per Hador there the ma'aseh that once happened with Chafetz Chaim, that there was a factory where they compelled all the workers to come to work on Shabbos. If not, you were going to lose your job. So they wanted the Chafetz Chaim to come out strongly that everyone has to not go to work and lose their jobs. And the Chafetz Chaim refused to. Chafetz Chaim said that for these people, they view it as a suffix hakanah. They're not going to have a parnasa. They'll literally starve. What are they going to eat? So the Chafetz Chaim held, if they're nervous that their mom, they're not going to have anything to eat, so then perhaps they do have a heter, pikuach nefesh, to go to work. However, the Chazon Ish said, after the Chafetz Chaim refused to come out against it, do you think for a minute that the Chafetz Chaim himself would have gone to work? Clearly not. Chafetz Chaim would not have been nervous. What the Chafetz Chaim was saying was, if you are nervous, so then you have the right to be Mechal Shabbos. Yeah.
By nature, very, very, you're a hypochondriac. You think everything's going to kill you.
So if you're on the more sensitive end of the spectrum, so then fine. As long as it's not Echa Mine Elef Alfe Elofim, then that's too much. Okay, so the Gemara seems to have rejected the reason of Chalel of Shabbos Achis Tishi Yishma Shabbat Sisharbe, and it seems to conclude that the het of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos because B'chai Ben Veloshi Yomus B'hem. However, there seem to be some indications that first reason that was suggested by the Gemara, second to last reason that was suggested by the Gemara of Chalel of Shabbos Achis Tishi Yishma Shabbat Sisharbe is indeed still operative. Well, at least it seems to be a machlekes whether or not it's still operative. And the first place where perhaps you see an indication of this is with regards to an ubar, an unborn fetus. So Bahag's opinion was, as quoted by the Rosh of Masechtas Yuma and elsewhere, the Bahag's opinion was that Pikuach Nefesh is an ubar, is considered to be Pikuach Nefesh, and be allowed to violate Shabbos. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says it's V'chai behem v'lo sheyomus behem. He has to be alive. His wife, certainly, even a subject Pikuach Nefesh, but he has to be alive now, not alive. How can you be Mechal Shabbos for Bikuach Nefesh? However, the Nitziv in the Hemek She'elah explains the opinion of the Bahag that is based on the first line of reasoning of the Gemara. That if it's Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedish Yishma Shabbos Asharbe, even if it's a potential life, perhaps you could violate Shabbos even for potential life to make sure that you'll be around in future Shabbosos. It's not predicated upon the fact that he's alive now, but even if he'll be alive in the future, perhaps you could apply the rule of Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishma Shabbos Sisharbe. In fact, that's how we paskin. The Bir Halacha paskins Yom Chalel Shabbos for an Ubar, even less than 40 days, into the conception, even Pachas Mimem Yom, if you're familiar with that whole discussion from abortion. Even that early on, one is allowed to be Chalel Shabbos for an Ubar to save a pregnancy. That's why the Bir Halacha disagrees with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says if you have a suffik nefel, let's say it's a suffik ben zayin, suffik ben ches, in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, a ben ches, an 8-month baby, was a certain nefel. In our times, the Chazon Ish already writes that it's nishtanu harefuos, medicine has improved, or nishtanu hatfayim, the reality of medicine has changed, the people. But either way, nowadays, clearly, ben ches is a bar kayama. And we don't have Ben Zion anymore. But in the times of the Gemara, either a child would be a 7-month pregnancy or a 9-month pregnancy. And if it would be an 8-month pregnancy, the child would be a Vade Nefel. So the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say I'm not sure if it's a Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes. I don't know. So you're allowed to be Mechal, even if after it would be born, it would still be a Nefel. And you can't be Mechal Shabbos. But over here it's a suffix. Suffix ben ches. If it's a ben ches, you can't be mechal Shabbos once it's born because of vaday nefo. Let's say I'm not sure. Suffix ben zayin, suffix ben ches. So the Shulchan Aruch says you cannot be mechal Shabbos. However, the Be'er Halacha disagrees. He says no worse than the ubar. The ubar is a potential life. So too argues the Be'er Halacha. Even a suffix nefo should at least be a potential life, and you would be allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Even though it sounds like the Bahag does accept the first line of reasoning of the Gemara of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, the Yishma Shabbos is Harbe, violate this Shabbos to be able to keep next Shabbos, we don't apply that rule in the reverse. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chav Tesif Dalet, even if the person won't make it till next Shabbos, he's going to die this week for sure. It's a matter of hours or days, you know. But Chai Yishah would be Machal Shabbos, even to extend his life partially and temporarily, would be Machal Shabbos. But we don't say that because he won't be around next Shabbos, we're not Machal Shabbos. Yeah.
That's what the reasoning of
Hashmonaim
used, that
it
says in the Gemara, that they
use
that halacha reasoning.
Well, he's saying, he's not arguing because of suffix sakan, he's arguing his potential life. Potential life, maybe it's a ben test, you don't know. And if he is, maybe he'll live. So Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Tzahar.
If it was a suffix,
would
we then be Mechala?
Yeah, she's saying, why isn't this a suffix Sakana? Yeah, there's a good argument too. I'm sure the Be'er Halacha raises that in his attack on the Shulchan Aruch. Another place where perhaps you see this, the first line of reasoning of the Gemara, is with regards to Sakanas Eiver. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah that Sakanas, by the way, most of everything we're quoting is in the online. There's the Mar Makarmis, which I gave you a link to. So most of it is from over there, if you're interested in looking it up. So the Gemara says, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, that Sakanas Ha'ayin is kisakanas nefashos. Sakana of the eye is like a sakanas nefesh, because the suraina de aina belibatalu, the sinews of the eye that are dependent on that go to the heart. So they're linked. So the Gemara says, Sakanas Ha'ayin is kisakanas nefashos. So the Rosh writes over there, but what about other sakanas eifer, another sakana of a limb? So it sounds like that's not a sakanas nefashos, it's only the eye. That's why the Gemara was out of its way to say by the eye. However, other Rishayim, there's a Meiri and a Taisis and Masechta Sukkah that seem to imply that Sakanas Eiver is Kisakanas Nefashos. To save a limb is akin in the same status as saving a life, but we don't paskin like the Meiri and the Taisis and Masechta Sukkah, that's a Das Yochid. We paskin Sakanas Eiver is not Kisakanas Nefashos. You could violate the Rabbanans, but not the Raisas. Yeah. So Dr. Abraham writes in the Nishma Savram that most of our Sakanas Eiver, even though it might present as Sakanas Eiver, you don't know Sakanas Eiver. You say the guy that broke his arm, but it's not a Sakanas Nefashos. You don't know. A broken arm, as Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, could lead to a blood clot, could lead to something else. So Dr. Abraham writes in the Nishma Savram, the application of this halacha will be very limited, even if a person, you know, a limb, chas v'shalom, you know, amputated or something, you know, gets cut off, so you lead to an infection, a million different things could go wrong, so we practically treat it as a Sakanas Nefashos, but the basic halacha is Sakanas Eiver is not because Sakanas Nefashos, only violate the Rabbanans. Nonetheless, the Shach writes in Hilchos Yarigval Yavar, in Yoredeya, that's only in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say a person says, I'll kill you or you give up a limb. So Sakanas Eiver is because Sakanas Nefashos. I'm sorry, violate this Avera or we'll cut off your limb. So we treat, as long as it's not one of the Gimel Averis HaChamur, so you have to give up your life for you, to be allowed to violate the Loisese rather than lose your limb. Losing a limb is like Sakanas Nefashos. That's why it's a cornea transplant. Taking corneas from a mace is Iser for being Nanamin Amace. But nonetheless, for a person to get back his eyesight is Sakanas Eiver. We treat it like Sakanas Nefashos, and you can violate any Iser in the Torah as long as it's not one of the Gimel Averis HaChamuras. So we could violate the Yisr HaNoam in a mace too, or a Maisha Zetshuva, if a Kayan gets his finger cut off. So to put the Eiver Menachai is Metame Tumas Kayhanim. So you have a problem. How can you reattach his own finger? He's going to have to be Metame to his own finger. Yisr of Tumas Kayhanim, Eiver Menachai. So a Maisha has a whole Tshuva about that. Maybe it's Tuma Tara Blua, or a Maisha gets involved in Shvach HaSvaris. But then Ramosha says the best argument is Sakanas Eiver. Sakanas Eiver is Daicha Oli Surim in the Torah. It's like Sakanas Nefashos, unless it's one of the Gimel Averis HaChamuras, so Tumas Kohanim would be included. Why is Kol HaTorah Kula, though, different than Hilchos Shabbos? How come in Kol HaTorah Kula, Sakanas Eiver is Sakanas Nefashos, but not in Hilchos Shabbos? So the Egel Eitel explains in his Hakdama that it's because perhaps Shabbos is not Yavor Ve'al Yehorek. Perhaps Shabbos should really be included in the Yaharik Val Yavor, because the Gemara suggests why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, Chalel Lav Shabbos Achaz, Kedei Sheyishmer Shabbos Tzharbe, violate this Shabbos so you get to next Shabbos. But it sounds like excluding that Svara, we would have said Shabbos is Yaharik Val Yavor. You know why you can keep Shabbos? Because Shabbos protects itself. Violate this Shabbos so you'll be around next Shabbos. But it sounds like in the hierarchy of priorities, what is more important, Shabbos or life? Shabbos is more important. Just violate the Shabbos, you'll be next Shabbos. But it sounds like Shabbos is more important than life. It could even be that it's not, it's Yaharik Val Yavor, like the other Yaharik Val Yavors. And that's perhaps why Shabbos, Sakonis Eber, is not Kesakonis Nefoshes. Whereas when you're dealing with other Yisurim in the Torah, as long as it's not one of the Yaharik Val Yavors, Sakonis Eber is Kesakonis Nefoshes. It could be done with any Yisurim in the Torah, as long as it's not the Yaharik Val Yavor. The reason why Shabbos, Sakonis Eber, is not Kesakonis Nefoshes is perhaps that's a residual effect of that first residual echoes of that first possibility in the Gemara that's a kind of that Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbe. Another perhaps ramification or expression of these two opinions that are quoted by the Gemara to the source of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is whether or not Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. Meaning when you have a conflict between Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, is it as if you have to do your best to try and avoid the conflict? Like the Gemara's example of Tumah Hutra B'Sibor, you have to do your best to avoid using Kohanim or Atame in order to perform the Avodah, because it's the Chuya. There is a conflict. Yes, it's true that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, but there is a conflict which we should try and avoid. Or perhaps we say Pikuach Nefesh comes in conflict with Shabbos. There's no conflict at all. It's Hutra. And you don't have to do your best to avoid it. You don't have to avoid it at all. There's no conflict. There's no competition between Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. That's the implication of that pasuk of Vishamru v'nei Yisrael as Shabbos. The Archaim HaKadosh writes, how could there be two Shabbosos? Vishamru v'nei Yisrael as Shabbos, Lasos as Shabbos. Sounds like there's two types of Shabbos. So writes the Archaim HaKadosh, there's two types of Shabbos. There's Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh, where you keep all Lamites Melachos, and then there's Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, where there is a life-threatening situation, where there's Shabbos without the Lamites Melachos. But that's also Shabbos. There's no conflict. There's Shabbos with Lamites Melachos, or Shabbos without Lamites Melachos. Where is Shabbos without Lamites Melachos is when you have Pikuach Nefesh. That's why it's repeated twice in the pasuk.
Well, you're saying it's Hutra, right?
Maybe that's Hutra. If it's based on the pasuk of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishma Shabbos Tzarbe, I can understand that it's Hutra. There's no conflict at all. There's Shabbos with Lamites Melachos, Shabbos without. But if it's based on V'chai B'hem V'lo Shiyomis B'hem, it sounds like there is a conflict. Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. V'chai B'hem trumps. It's a separate ideal which trumps Shabbos. But there is a conflict which needs to be negotiated. And perhaps, therefore, it should be avoided. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes this Arachayim HaKadosh in the context of a person who violates Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, or at least what he thought was Pikuach Nefesh, and then it turns out that it wasn't Pikuach Nefesh. Let's say they schlep a guy to the hospital because they think he's having a heart attack, and it turns out it's gas. So, okay, you know, disappointing, but very happy. You know, good news. So now do we have to feel bad that we... do we have to feel bad that we violated Shabbos in order to bring this person to the hospital when it's just indigestion? So Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman. No, you don't. He quotes the Archaim HaKadosh, that there's Shabbos with Lamites Melachos, Shabbos without. And since it's Hutra, as long as what you did, what you thought was Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore you would not have to violate Shabbos. And in fact, that's what you should do. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Chav Ches Sif Beis, Rabbi Neuberger began with this, that Hashayo b'makom Pikuach Nefesh is Hareza Shefech Domim. A person who stops to ask a Shayo when there's a situation of Pikuach Nefesh is Shefech Domim. The other person is in a life-threatening situation. I'm stopping to ask Shailas. What you should do is take the person to the hospital, even if you have a suffix. And even if it turns out that you're wrong, it should not be a violation of Shabbos because you did what you thought was right at the time. You're not supposed to stop and ask Shailas. The Mishnah Brura there in Sifkat and Vav, Shin Chav Ches, Sif Bei, Sifkat and Vav, quotes from the Yushalmi that has a different gear so that not Hashor b'makom Pikuach Nefesh, but Hanishol, the person who's asked the Shaila. And Rabbi Neuberger began with this. That's why Reshechtu told me we should really begin the fourth year with Pikuach Nefesh. Or maybe we should start Smicha with Pikuach Nefesh, because we have to teach it as early on as possible. Because it's the obligation of the Rav to make sure that people are aware of the halachas of Pikuach Nefesh, so they don't have to stop and ask Shailas when a situation of Pikuach Nefesh arises. That's why Rabbi Neuberger said, the person asked, how can he do kapara for being Mechal Shabbos, Mekal Pikuach Nefesh? And Rav Shechter told him, Vinugar, you need to do tshuva. It's your fault, because he should have given shiurim that he didn't have to make a mistake. If you're not going to ask a shiur, so how do you know when to go to the hospital? The answer is, our Chashochan explains, or Vinugar quoted this, I believe, that you do whatever you do during the week. We operate with seichel during the week. We know for somehow, intuitively, through life experience, know when to call 911 and know when to call Hatzalah and when not to. So that same barometer of experience in seichel should apply on Shabbos too. If you would call Hatzalah, you should do it on Shabbos too. If you wouldn't during the week, you shouldn't do it during the week either. You don't have to stop and ask a shayla. But if you did what you thought was because of nefesh, even if it turns out not to, you do not require, says of Shom HaZalman, you don't require any tshuva. This machlekes with the pikuach nefesh is hutra and dechuya, which might depend on the whole source for pikuach nefesh, as we mentioned. Seems to be a machlekes harishayin, a machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch and Shimon Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis quotes in Gemara and Yuma that when you mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, you should do so al yidei Yisraelim gedolim, adult males. So Tosfos and the Ran explain in that Gemara why should it be adult males? Why not get a katan or a woman? So Taisa says, no, because people need to know that this is something that's permitted. If we'll get a katan to do it, people will think that it's really muta, it's really asur, and we're just getting a katan to do it. And we have to explain to people and show people that this is something that is muta. That's why the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Lamed Aleph quotes from the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos that has the gears in the Gemara, not Yisraelim Gedolim, but Gedolei Yisrael. It should be the Rav. We had in my old shul, we had a situation, Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos. I was makbid. We didn't have a Nachri around. We'll get to it in a second. So someone was going to have to call. I was makbid to call. To show people that this is something that, I don't think I'm Gedolei Yisrael, but to show people that this is, at least in that context, you know, to show people that this is something that we're allowed to do. And you might think, well, everyone knows Pikuach Nefesh is Mutar and Shabbos. Not true. I like to tell over one time we were in the davening in the other Beis Medrash, Shachris morning, Minyan in the morning, and the Gabbai, you wouldn't remember who he was, but the Gabbai at that time, in the middle of davening, passed out, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Mamish keeled over. He was fine, he just fainted, but in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, no one did anything. Everyone's just standing around. Like, what should we do now? You know, people pointing and hopping.
They're saying
Refeinim. Yeah, but no, it wasn't on Shabbos, during the week. Regular Shachris, Shemoneh Esrei. So people don't know, even B'nai Yeshiva don't know, so they need to be shown. Huh?
You know that during the week they would have called?
I was there, it was during the week. Yeah. No one did anything. Then someone did something, okay, fine, but it took way too long. So that definitely is a concern, and therefore, says in the Gemara, you should use Yisraelim Gedolim. However, the Ramah writes, quotes in the name of the Shulta Gibarim, that no, if it's possible to use a Shinoi or to ask an Achri, as long as he won't delay in the care of the patient, then we should try and prevent as many Yisurim as possible. Therefore, of course, if you have the option of driving yourself to the hospital or taking a taxi, it's always preferable to take a taxi if time is not of the essence. Obviously, if time is of the essence, you call Hatzalah or something, or you drive yourself. What choice do you have? But if you have time is not of the essence, or at least you know that much the chuf, then it's always better to take a taxi. It's always better to take a taxi for other reasons too. If you're going to drive yourself to the hospital, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, you might have a hetter to get there, but you have no hetter to turn the car off, no hetter to move it past the. Say there's valet parking at some places. Okay, then you can do that. So you get around some of the issues, but otherwise you're going to have a gehakta tzaras. So it's always better to take a taxi, or even to call Hatzalah rather than driving yourself. Okay, but the Ramah says you should try and prevent as many Yisurim as possible. Better to ask a Nachri. In the Mor Ksiyah from Yaakov Emden, he writes, over here, Shin Chav Ches of Kon Chav Hei, that a Nachri is better than doing a Malachai De Shinoi. Shinoi also lowers it to the Rabbanim, but better to use a Nachri. And both of these options, if Zalman Nechemia writes in a journal called Halacha Rufua, in the third volume, that both of these are preferable to asking a Katan. So most preferable is a Nachri, then after that is a Shinoi, after that is a katan. The Bir Halacha writes in Simin Reisha in Ches, if you had the opportunity to lower the level of the Eastern, you didn't, you're chayv chatos, according to the Ramah. Hakal hakal tchila, and if you didn't do that, you're chayv a chatos. We have to try and lower the Eastern as much as possible. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, in the Mincha Shlomo, and this appears in the Kovit Shiurim from Rav Chanan and Masechtas Ksubas, both say that the only time you have to lower the Iser is when both possibilities are equally as are equal. But if let's say one involves more either cost or more tircha, or bothering someone else, if both are possibilities that present themselves in front of you, one of greater Iser, one of lesser Iser, are not equal, so then you don't have to lower the Isurim as much as possible. Shlomo Zalman is discussing a person who's not well and needed hot water in the middle of the night. And they didn't have any hot water in the house, so they could either heat up their own hot water or go knock on the neighbor at 3 o'clock in the morning and ask them for hot water. So Shlomo Zalman said, you're not obligated to go to the neighbor and ask them at 3 in the morning for their hot water. You're allowed to cook your own water, even though you have to try and lower the Isurim as much as possible. Here you're waking up someone else and disturbing their Shabbos. You have no right to do that. So since both our possibilities are not equal, you're not obligated to do it. Yeah.
Did they want hot water or needed hot water?
Needed hot water. The chayla needs hot water. So yeah, you're allowed to cook your own, even though your next door neighbor at 3 in the morning might have. You're not allowed to disturb your neighbor when you have the ability to cook your own water.
Could they just feel it would feel good for them or be better for them to not consider?
We'll get to that. It's only if all things are being equal. That's why, as well, the Sefer Teres HaYoledes. Teres HaYoledes is from Rabbi Zuberstein, Rabbi Yashiv Sonnenwald. So he discusses whether or not a pregnant woman has to go sleep by the hospital in the ninth month. Or is she allowed to stay at home? I mean, does she have to take a hotel room next to the hospital so she could walk to the hospital? Or is she allowed to sleep in her own home? If she sleeps in her own home, if she has to give birth, she's going to have to violate Shabbos. So you have another opportunity. You could go sleep in the hotel that's next to the hospital. So Mishnah Brura writes in Siman Shin Lamas of Kohen Aleph, in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, you have to do whatever you can before Shabbos to prevent Chilul Shabbos. That's why the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, the Chassidim HaRishonim would only have relations with their wife on a day when they knew she would deliver that wouldn't be Shabbos. They wouldn't have relations with their wife on a day that they knew she would deliver on Shabbos, even though it's 9 months before. You see, and I don't know how you could determine that.
Or seven,
not eight. But they, you see, so far in advance, you already have to start preparing for the labor to make sure that we shouldn't involve Chilul Shabbos. Okay. But this is quoted by the Sefer Chassidim and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. This is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Teres HaYoledes quotes from Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Sternbach, who applied this svara that that's not all things being equal. Here, she can stay in her apartment or stay in a hotel room for Shabbos. That's not all things being equal. Let's say a person could stay by his in-laws that live close to the hotel or the hospital, or they could stay in their own apartment. Let's say, you know, you're living in the North Shore, I could go to the Five Towns for Shabbos, so I can stay in the Heights. So the problem is, I go to delivering in North Shore, you're going to have to take a taxi all the way to Long Island, or I could go stay by the in-laws in Long Island. That's not all things being equal. It's going to involve Tzar V'Yogan and Shabbos, huh? Also be called that. Oh, good. Very good. Okay, so it's not all things being equal. You're not obligated to do it. There is a chassidim and rishonim. You want to do like that, says the Mishnah Berurah. You're not obligated to do it because that's not all things being equal. The Teres HaYoledes, though, does quote from Moshe Sternbach that let's say she's already in labor. She's already in labor Friday afternoon. So she knows she's going to deliver on Shabbos. So then if Sternbach says she has to go before Shabbos. Yeah, you know she's in labor. Or Ramesh has a tshuva, which Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, about a doctor who knows he's going to have to go in for rounds Shabbos morning. So then you have no right to stay at home Friday night and go. You know you're going to have to be there. This is only if you don't know if you're going to have to go in. So it's not all things being equal. I spend Shabbos in the hospital or stay in my house. So then you'll have to stay at home. But let's say I know you're going to have to violate Shabbos. You know you're going to have to be there on Shabbos. So then Ramesh held the doctor has to be in the hospital all Shabbos. He's before Shabbos rather than driving in or taking a taxi in Shabbos morning. So Rav Sternbach said, if she's already in labor, just the contractions aren't close enough to warrant coming into the hospital, she'd have to go there before Shabbos. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa here too quotes from Shlomo Zalman, not so. Even if you know you're going to have to be there on Shabbos, Ramosha said, well, you're the doctor's chicken soup at home is not Deicha Shabbos. Why should that be Deicha Shabbos for him to have chicken soup at home? But Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees and he says, no, that's not all things being equal. Even if you know Bivados, you're going to have to violate Shabbos, the only time we say you have to try and lower the level of Isurim is if the two possibilities in front of that are presenting are two possibilities are equal. But if one involves Morticha or pain or money or whatever, then you're not obligated to lower the level of the Easter, even if you know you're going to have to be there on Shabbos, even if the woman's in labor already, the doctor knows he's going to have to be there Shabbos morning. The Avnei Nezer, though, writes, this machleg seen the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, do I have to lower the level of Isurim as much as possible? The Shulchan Aruch says you don't, and the Ramah says you do, seems to revolve around whether or not Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. If it's Hutra, you don't have to try and avoid it, and that perhaps is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, though, seems to argue that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, and therefore you have to try and avoid the situation entirely or lower the level of Iser as much as possible. It could be, though, that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Could be also that the Shulchan Aruch holds Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya as well. And that sounds like what is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dawud. In Shin Chav Ches Sif Dawud, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a chayla that needs meat on Shabbos, so you have two options, either, and you have no kosher meat which is available. You could either shecht an animal properly and get kosher meat, or he could eat nevela meat. So what should he do? So nevela, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, is for sure dechuya. Shabbos might be hutra, might be dechuya. Might be hutra, might be dechuya. So the Shulchan Aruch says, better to shecht meat, shecht kosher meat on Shabbos, rather than eating the nevela meat. I'm sorry, so that implies again that the Shulchan Aruch holds Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Even though Nevela is a lav, Nevela is only Leisa, say. Shabbos is an Issa Skila. Why should you violate Shabbos with Shechita, which is law in the Lama Tetzav is Melachos, rather than eating a Vela meat, which is only a lav? If not, because the Shulchan Aruch held that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. So even though it's a more serious Iser, there's no conflict when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos.
Does the Shulchan Aruch give a reason?
No. So it could be that you could get out of that. It could be you could get out of the fact that Shulchan Aruch holds you don't have to lower the level of Easter by getting a Nachris, because Shulchan Aruch is more sensitive to that fear that people are going to think you're not allowed to be Chal Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. If I go and take a taxi, I go and I ask a Nachri, people are going to get the wrong idea. Not because Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. That's why I don't have to ask the Nachri. If I start taking a taxi, people are going to think Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Is the Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is not Mutter. That's why I'm allowed to do it myself. But maybe even the Shulchan Aruch held this Dechuya. But it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch over here too that he holds it Hutra. Because the Shulchan Aruch says if you have the option either of eating a Vela meat, which is only a Loisese, or violating Shabbos by shechting an animal, which is an Issa Skilo, you should violate Shabbos by shechting the animal. Sounds here too that Shulchan Aruch holds Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. However, the Mishnah Berurah over there too says perhaps this is not an ironclad argument. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham in the Taz, that the reason why we shech the kosher animal on Shabbos, even though it's a more serious Iser, as opposed to eating nevela meat, is because eating nevela meat, every kezias will be a new Iser. Eat nevela, kezias, Iser. Nevela, kezias, Iser. Next kezias, Iser. You have many small Isurim, whereas if you shech the animal, you only have one Iser in the Shechita. It's a bigger Iser, but it won't be one. So perhaps the Shulchan Aruch holds many small Isurim is worse than one big Iser. That's an interesting Shas topic, which Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses in the Lekach Toiv. Is many small Isurim worse than one big Isur, or is one big Isur worse than many small Isurim? So this is one of the sources that he quotes, is this idea. So perhaps the Shulchan Aruch over here is taking a stance on that, that many small Isurim is worse than one big Isur, that's why you should shecht the animal, not because Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra Dechuya. That's an argument that Emek Bracha makes. And maybe over here too, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Maybe over here all he means is Dechuya. And maybe by allowing the Yisraelim Gedolim and not insisting that you get an Achri to do it, also he holds us Dechuya. Just he's more sensitive to Pikuach, the fact that people will, the misimpression that there might exist, there might be, people might misinterpret your actions and think Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is not Mutter at all. That's why he allowed you to do it with Yisraelim Gedolim. So it's hard to know what the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is. Clearly the Ramah holds it's Dechuya, because the Ramah holds you have to try and get an Achri to do it. Shulchan Aruch is more debatable whether he holds it's Hutra or Dechuya. Another ramification, whether Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya, which again might go back to the whole source of Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos in the first place, is whether or not one is allowed to put himself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos in the first place, knowingly. Obviously, most of the times it presents, we're not asked. But there might be certain times where you have a situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos that you're in control of whether to create such a situation or not. Where could that occur? Is what the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, that before and after the milah, they would wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic. They have a milah on Shabbos, they would wash the baby in hot water before and after. And they would prepare the water before Shabbos. But let's say the water for after the milah spills. And now you're going to have to heat up water for after the milah on Shabbos. So if you already did the milah and the water spills, for sure you can heat up the water on Shabbos. That's a Pikuach Nefesh. You have a baby, has an open wound, you need hot water for an antiseptic, for sure you're allowed to heat up the water. What if it spills before the milah? The water for after the milah spills before the milah. Should we push off the milah from today, or should we do the milah after the milah? We'll say, let's Pikuach Nefesh and heat up water. So Bar Amar's opinion in Masechta Shabbos is you push off the milah. It's pikuach nefesh. You can't put yourself in a situation pikuach nefesh knowingly on Shabbos. And the Ramban disagrees. He says, "Ein la mitzvah l'makayim v'shaita." You do the milah. You have water for before the milah. Fine. Do the milah. Oh, now I'm presented with a situation pikuach nefesh. Even though I put myself in that situation, it's allowed. So it seems to be the machlokes between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor is also whether or not pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutra or dechuya. According to the Ramban, it's hutra. I can put myself in that situation knowingly. According to the Baal HaMor, it's dechuya, and that's why you're not allowed to put yourself in that situation. The Chazon Ish in the Per Ador, in that biography, according to the name of the Chazon Ish, that he had a different shot than this Baal HaMor. He interpreted from this Baal HaMor an entirely new conceptual idea, and that is that even though pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos, it cannot be mavatel Shabbos. If you go into a situation of pikuach nefesh knowingly on Shabbos, that's a problem. Not because pikuach nefesh is dechuya, because you're being mavatel Shabbos. It's like kemasne lakor es haShabbos. The Chazon Ish was discussing, the storybook they're discussing, that one time someone came to ask the Chazon Ish that they could charter a plane to go to Europe, get people during the World War when they were involved in Hatzolos Nefashos, get people and bring them back to Eretz Israel. But in order to do that, they'd have to fly on Shabbos. So Chazon Ish said it's allowed. Pikuach nefesh is derech Shabbos. Then, a few months later, they came back and asked the same Shiloh again. The only time they could charter the plane is on Shabbos. And this time the Chazon Ish said you can't go. So they said, but the first time you allowed it. So the Chazon Ish says the first time it was by chance. Happened to fall out on Shabbos. What can you do? Second time, it's falling out on Shabbos. You did this unknowingly. So he said that's like kemas nelak versa Shabbos. You're mevatel Shabbos. You can't have no Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish to do it on a regular basis would be Mavatel Shabbos, and that would not be allowed. To know how to apply that rule of what is called Bitel Shabbos, what's called Chilul Shabbos, you have to have be a higher pay grade than I'm on. But that kind of, or that's why many argued, even if it would be Bikuach Nefesh to lose your job, but you can't go to work for that reason. Like the Chafetz Chaim story. If you're not going to go to work, people are going to lose their jobs. They won't have anything to eat. What does that mean? Everyone go to work on Shabbos? There's no more Shabbos. So even if it would be Bikuach Nefesh, that's not Dechiyah Shabbos. That's Bitel Shabbos. That's how the Chazon Ish argued. So again, that's a hard thing to know how to apply. But that's how the Chazon Ish understood this Baal HaMor. Yeah.
It seems so much harder to Dechiyah. It's more like different conceptions of time. Like someone says, like, you do what you're supposed to do now, like the doctor's not doing anything wrong by staying home, and then tomorrow when it comes, even if he knows the future, you can't really know the future. I mean, you can do your best to predict it. That other folks can say that, no, if you know the future,
I hear
you. You can never know the future.
I hear. The Baal HaMor, though, seems to, the pshat of the Chazon Ish notwithstanding, and this pshat notwithstanding, it could be this is the machlok between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. According to the Ramban, because nefesh on Shabbos is hutra, that's why you have to put yourself in that situation. And according to the Baal HaMor, it would be dechuya. The problem is the Baal HaMor seems to be soicer himself. He's a well-known steer in the Baal HaMor, because the Gemara says, Masech the Shabbos and Daf Yotes, Ein Machligim B'Svina Gimel Yomim Kodem HaShabbos. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. And many reasons are given in the Rishonim. One reason is that of the Baal HaMor, because sea travel in those days was dangerous, and you're probably involved Chilul Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. And if you go on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's as if you're putting yourself in that kind of situation knowingly. And you're not going to put yourself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh knowingly. That's why the Shmir Shabbos Kolchaser writes you're not supposed to schedule elective surgeries for Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, because you might have to, the third day after an operation is usually the most difficult, as we learned from Avraham Avinu by Mila. That's why the Malachim came on the third day, that's usually the most difficult, and it might involve Chilul Shabbos. And you're not supposed to, once Wednesday, Thursday, Friday come, you're not supposed to put yourself in a situation where you might have to violate the Shabbos knowingly, because already Shabbos is supposed to be on your mind. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you don't have to be thinking about Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you have to be thinking about Shabbos. You shouldn't put yourself in that kind of situation. Knowingly, certainly, to schedule an elective surgery for Shabbos would not be ideal. If the person's suffering, or the doctor has no other day when they do this, you're not going to be able to get it done. Otherwise, then it can be allowed, elective surgery, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but not ideally. And that's based on this Gemara and Shabbos. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that if he's going, not on a boat trip for pleasure, that's if he's going for pleasure, an elective surgery, cosmetic surgery. What if the person is going for a Dvar Mitzvah? So then it says in the Gemara, then it is allowed. So 1 minute, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos or Mila is also a Mitzvah. So how come the Baal HaMor didn't allow you to do the milah once the water for after the milah is spilled? Because you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos, pekuach nefesh. But the Gemara says, but by mafliga misvina, as long as it's a dvar mitzvah, it's allowed. Why should milah? Milah is a mitzvah gedola, has many kulas that other mitzvahs don't have. Why should milah here be worse than the mitzvah that's described by the Gemara? Ma'im mafliga misvina, gimel yom kaidim haShabbos. Why can't I put myself in that situation, me'ikara, and do the milah and then heat up the water afterwards, just like going on the boat trip to makom mitzvah? So the Achronim have different resolutions to this stira in the Baal HaMor. There's a famous letter from Soloveitchik where he addressed Dr. Belkin about this when they were talking about sending Rabbanim to be chaplains in the army, and they knew they might have to be Mechal Shabbos or Pikuach Nefesh. So Soloveitchik, in his letter to Dr. Belkin about whether or not he approved of that, quoted this stira in the Baal HaMor and discusses different possible resolutions to it. So the Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, and that's the way that the Aruch HaShulchan sides as well, is that the two cases are not comparable. By the case of the boat trip, it's a suffix. You don't know with certainty you're going to have to violate Shabbos. You might have to violate Shabbos, you might not. That's different. Then you're allowed to put yourself in that situation, may cover up a makom mitzvah. The case of the Mila, you will certainly... Bivados have to be Mechal Shabbos, and that you can't do Meikara. You can't put yourself in such a situation. The Aruch HaShabbos quotes others who disagree, and they have a different resolution to the problem, that there's a difference between putting yourself in that situation on Shabbos versus, I think Rav Soloveitchik mentions this too, or putting yourself in that situation before Shabbos. The 3 days Kaidim HaShabbos, you're allowed to put yourself in the go on the boat trip, but Makom Mitzvah is when it's before Shabbos, you're putting yourself in that situation. That's allowed. Doing the Mila on Shabbos, where you know you're going to have to violate Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, whereas on Shabbos is worse. Either way, it sounds like from the Baal HaMor that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos certainly is dechuya. You're not allowed to put yourself in such a situation. And that sounds, at least under some circumstances, and it sounds also like the Ramah, that one has to try and lower the level of Yisurim as much as possible. For that reason, you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of pikuach nefesh, at least, at least if it's not before Shabbos or it's a suffek. Again, the Baal HaMor said, even if it's before Shabbos or if it's a suffek, it's only mutar b'makom mitzvah. If it's not b'makom mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it. So that sounds like pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is the chuya. That's why Rav Shechter argued a doctor should really not be allowed to learn medicine. He's putting himself in a situation where he knows he's going to have to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, even though it's before Shabbos, and it's only a suffix. It's only if it's B'makom Mitzvah. You say, whoa, it's B'makom Mitzvah that I learned medicine to save people. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that that's not called B'makom Mitzvah. Rav Moshe said a Kain is not allowed to go to medical school where he's going to have to violate the Isur of Tumas Kohanim because later on he's going to be involved in the mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefoshes. Who told you, says Rav Moshe, that you have to be the one to be the doctor? And there's no mitzvah incumbent upon me to learn something, to know something, to be able to heal people. Rav Moshe says that's like saying a person has to earn money in order to give tzedakah. Rav Moshe says there's no mitzvah to earn a parnasa. There might be a mitzvah to earn a parnasa, but there's no mitzvah to earn a parnasa, so you should have money to give tzedakah. There might be a gra that disagrees, but that's where Rav Moshe writes. There's no mitzvah to earn money to give tzedakah. So to Rav Moshe says, there's no mitzvah incumbent upon the kohen to learn medicine in order to heal people. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, but even though he'll heal people later on in the future, that's true, but there's no chayla b'faneinu. There's no chayla that he's healing now. Rav Moshe quotes the Tshuva from the Noid B'Yehuda Chassam Sefer by autopsies, that they said even though you might learn something from the autopsy which will heal people later on in the future, in order to allow an autopsy which involves the Isur of Halanas Ameis, Hanomin Ameis, Nivul Ameis, in order to allow those Isurim, you have to have a Chayla B'faneinu who will you be able to heal now because of the knowledge that you acquired. If it's going to be in the future, that's not reason enough to allow an autopsy. So the Rav Moshe says that's not reason enough to allow the Kohen to violate Tumas Kohanim to go to medical school. Rav Shechter said, yeah.
So according to Rav Moshe, by the same logic, if someone knew the effect of you working on Shabbos, you would be the same as a Kohen. You can't like benefit yourself in situation
you'd be in. I'm sorry? So therefore...
The issue of the Kohen is that he's setting himself up that he's going to have to...
And you can't call it B'makom Mitzvah now. That's why Rav Shechter argued. Yes, yeah, so we'll get. Let's finish the discussion. Then you ask your question. Therefore, Rav Shechter argued as well. That's why a person can't violate Shabbos in medical school. Later on, he's going to be saving lives. There are some things even medical students do that save lives, so that would be allowed. But if he's doing something which is not saving a life now, So then Shatla said he can't violate Shabbos now because he might save lives in the future. Ramosha rejected that argument by the Kohen. They quote in the name of Rabbi Tendler, printed in the name of Ramosha, and I heard Rav David Cohn quote the same thing in the name of Rav Gusman, that we need to have Jewish doctors. That's some sort of overwhelming concern. We have Jewish pulmonologists and cardiologists and nephrologists, and we have to have Jews in every field. So that would allow even Chilul Shabbos in medical school, because we have to have Jews in every field. Okay, so if you accept that argument, so then obviously...
What's the
svara? If we don't have Jewish nephrologists, we'll have problems.
Why?
Talk to Rabbi Tamar, I don't know. That was his argument.
You don't want to be dependent on the Goyim,
bro. Okay, I don't want to speculate as to what his logic was. Yeah. You can either speculate on your own or ask him if you are so brave. Yes.
It should be more for Shabbos, but it's not just that I shouldn't be able to...
Let me finish. We're not done yet. Therefore, Ramosha says, so because Levish on Shabbos is dechulia, Ramosha says a doctor should really have his phone number not listed in the days when that meant something. So your phone number should not be listed, so people shouldn't call you. He could call another doctor, because Levish on Shabbos is dechulia. Should try and avoid the situation. Pesachei Tshuva says in Yeridei and Siman Shin Ayin, and lo mi kol odom zeichel l'sraf points. Once a person has his doctor, so really he won't be able to be healed by that doctor, but that was Ramosha, that's where he's coming from. So Shatla said, therefore, in order to go to medical school, what you'll have to argue is a person's going to medical school really only to heal people during the week. That's why I'm going. Otherwise, I'm not allowed to do it. How am I allowed to put myself to learn medicine, to put myself in a situation where I know I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos? That's why I'm doing it. So he said, no, you must argue when a person puts himself in a situation to learn medicine, the reason he's doing it is to heal people for the mitzvah of healing people during the week. Once I learn medicine, if now I'm available to heal people on Shabbos too, okay, I'm willing to do that too. But that's not why you're going into it. You're going into it to heal people during the week, which is allowed. And I'm not doing it going into to be Mechal Shabbos. You can't go into be Mechal Shabbos, and it's not B'mokoy Mitzvah. You have no mitzvah to learn medicine. I'm going in to heal people during the week. That's allowed. Then, once I'm knowledgeable in medicine, I'm obligated to help him on Shabbos too, but I didn't put myself, that wasn't my intention initially when going to medical school.
Were people, does anyone go to medical school saying, I want to be Mechal Shabbos?
No, but you have to, that would have to be the svara behind it. Meaning, that's the justification. How are you allowed to do it? You're putting yourself in a situation because the answer is, I'm not. I'm not doing it to heal people on Shabbos.
Well, that's
the line of argument.
You go back to the Ramadan, we don't live in the view, we live in... Now, medical school, you go to medical school.
So I'm going to medical school. You can't do it to heal Mechal Shabbos now. Medical school, you have no head. You're not healing. You're not, in fact, you might heal people in the future. There's not a reason to justify Chilul Shabbos now. But how are you allowed to do it in the first place? Isn't that the same as the Balamor? I'm putting myself in such a situation, and this is not B'makom Mitzvah. The answer is no. I'm putting myself in a situation to heal people during the week. I might then be able to, in a position to heal them on Shabbos too, but that's not why I went into it. Therefore, it's not a situation of Pikuach Nefesh now. Yes.
Okay, fine. So there seems to be two issues. One is how you go to medical school, that's klal, even if there's no Shabbos.
Correct.
To become a doctor.
But you get a Shomer Shabbos residency. You avoid that issue.
Fine, but you haven't answered, Louis, so you don't have a Shomer Shabbos. That's a separate issue.
If you don't have a Shomer Shabbos residency, you have Rabbi Tendler's argument. Then
this argument doesn't help that.
No. Okay. You're still stuck. But I'm asking how you have to go into the field.
Oh,
it's not B'mokka.
Residents perform doctors.
Some yes, some no. Some yes, some no. No, sometimes they do think I agree with you. First year medical residents do the dirty work, which is sometimes more saving lives than the people who are the fancy smancy doctors. You're right, I agree with you. But there are sometimes you do things, and even writing things on charts might be Pikuach Nefesh, so they know that he's allergic to penicillin. But there are sometimes when you're asked to do things, talk to the people in the field, which are not. So then they have to restrict themselves.
In those situations, you could do Darabana, like in front of someone who wrote.
It's a whole discussion. Yes.
This note be Huda discussion about the autopsy thing. Is that what people are, you, like the shuls that have the security systems and the whatever, the people on security,
yes,
violating certain malachos? So
right.
Is that, they're saying because there's a suffix that something could happen. So
that's the old suffix pikuach nefesh shaila. If you're mutter, if you're nervous, that's what I asked.
Down to the original question.
Yes, I asked a well-known place. What about carrying a gun on Shabbos? If people want to do it, the CSS. If you're familiar with any of this, yes.
That's like one in 10,000, though.
Really? You think people are nervous about it or not nervous about it?
They aren't nervous.
People are deathly nervous about it. If you speak to politicians in New York City, that is the number one priority of the Jewish community right now is security around shuls and schools. So I think people are nervous about it. And do you think it's illegitimate? It's like stubbing the toe on the inquiry? I don't think so.
It's 1 in 10,000.
Okay. But if you're nervous, if you're nervous, thankfully no one can carry a concealed weapon without, it's impossible to get such a permit. But if you want to hire a security firm, even if they have Jews now, I don't have time to get into the whole what's going on now, but you have Jews serving on security firms on Shabbos. So if they're nervous, so then that's be allowed. It could be allowed. And obviously everything has to be up and up. It has to be no one's doing anything that's against the law. But yes. Yeah.
Can you just go back a second? I don't really... Why can't you have the kavanah that you're going to help people on Shabbos when you're not at the school? What does it matter?
Because then why are you putting yourself in a situation where you're going to be Machal Shabbos?
But isn't it bugging to Echad when you, by the time you are being, let's say, forget about being Machal Shabbos in medical school. Machal Shabbos.
If I ask you, why are you going to medical school? I don't plan on practicing during the week. I'm going to be a Rav. But I want on Shabbos to be able to help people. That's
you're
terrible.
Not doing any favor,
you're putting us. You're not. But you're putting yourself knowingly in a situation. Because
Echad, once you already have the skills, what does it matter what your Kavanah is before?
I hear you. Oh, what does it matter what your kavana is?
Yeah, what does it matter?
Okay, let's continue. We'll get there. Okay. So the Gemara said, I'm sorry. So based on this argument, the Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya, which sounds like it's the opinion of the Ramah, which is how Ashkenazim should pass, and Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dechuya. Therefore, a doctor also emerges and says to try not to be on call on Shabbos. If he has to be on call, he's allowed to go in and save lives. But if he can avoid being on call, he should avoid being on call. Ramah's opinion was he's allowed to switch even with another Jewish person, to say switch shifts, because he said it's not lifnei iver, and I'm encouraging you to be Mechal Shabbos, I'm actually helping you out. It's a lifnei iver of an Eitz HaTayva, because you now, before you were going to be Mechal Shabbos, not B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. Now I tricked you into being Mechal Shabbos. You were going to play golf before, and now I'm helping you. Now you're being Mechal Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, which is Mutter. Shlomo Zalman and Mincha Shlomo disagrees, and he says, no, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, in order for it to be Mutter, requires intention. You have to know that you're being Mechal Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh for the mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh, based on the Gemara Menachos about fishing on Shabbos, and you happen to by accident save a baby. So Shlomo Zalman proves that in order to allow Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, you have to have Kavana. If the person has Kavana for an Iser just to make money, not for Pikuach Nefesh, so the mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh, then Shlomo Zalman says, then he has no heter of Pikuach Nefesh in the first place. So if I switch with another Jewish person, it's actually Lifnei'iv or Menetzera, because he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, and he's not going to have the dispensation of Pikuach Nefesh, it's only if he has the Kavanah for it. So he says, and even though it will turn out that what he did is Mutter, and it's Kavan Lechol, B'sar Chazir, but also be all the B'sar Tleh, the Sifrei, Parshas Ekev, you intended to eat pig, and you, even though you ate kosher meat, you still require kapara. So too, you require kapara too. You're not be allowed to switch with him.
That's only for the tshuva. That's only if, like, that Rosh Hashanah was not giving back what we said. That's only if you do it before the obligation to do tshuva or not. Not whether.
I hear you. That's Rosh Hashanah Zalman's argument. Another, yes.
I believe Rabbi Berger also said the das of Shlomo Zalman that even if the guy were to know that he's doing it l'shem, like the pikuach nefesh, that because he'll be doing extra malachos from the army base, or is that
army base? Yeah, we're talking about a doctor in a regular hospital.
So he was saying that in that situation, they're actually going to be doing more malacha.
In a different situation. We're talking about switching with a doctor in a hospital, with another doctor in your practice, you know? The Shulchan Aruch quotes another related issue to this discussion of Huchra Dechui, is the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ramban in the Teres HaAdam, which is quoted by the Magid Mishnah, that you do kol masher regilin lasas lo b'chol. You do for the chayil whatever you normally do on Shabbos, from which the Magid, whatever you do during the week, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. From which the Magid Mishnah understands, even those things that are not related to the Etzem Sakonah, so not necessarily a life-saving activity, it's ancillary care that would also be allowed on Shabbos. See, B'Halacha expresses his wonderment with regards to this. How can it be it's allowed? If it's not again the Etzem Sakonah, it itself is not life-saving activity. How could it be allowed for ancillary care? So the B'Halacha says he can't really accept it. He's only going to be makel with regards to Yisurim Derabanan. Ancillary care, when it comes to Nisa Derabanan, can be allowed, but not otherwise. But however, Brisker Rav, in his Sefer on the Rambam, in Hilchos Shrisis, Hilchos Yom Kippurim, quotes in the name of Reb Chaim, that he used to pass like the Magid Mishnah, even when it comes to Deiraisas. there'll be a difference with regards to, let's say, moving up and down. This, you know, comes up in a hospital situation. A person is a chalash yesh b'sakana, wife just gave birth, and she needs the bed moved up or down. It's an electrical bed. So even according to the Bi'alocha, that could be allowed. It would be better to ring the nurse. Why not? To lower the level of the Yisr and get the Nachri nurse to do it. The problem is, you're going to ring the Nachri for this. When you actually need her, she's not going to show up. So, you know, the pregnant woman who cried on the bed. So you won't be able to get her to come back when you really need her. So maybe the husband is allowed to move the bed for his wife. She's a chayel sheyesh b'sakana. This is shara tzaracha. Moving the bed, since there's no lights that light up, is only, you know, with a filament. There's only nisim midrabanan, and it can be allowed. Reb Chaim allowed it even when it comes to deraisas. What is this based on? How can you allow it even by the rabbanans? Reb Chaim allowed it by deraisas. How can you allow shara tzaracha of ancillary care? So Reb Chanan explains in the Kevet Ha'aris. Reb Avadya has like this in the Chavadas. He quotes from Reb Chanan that it's because obviously the Magen Mishnah held Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. It's not only when it comes to the Etzem Sarkonis, even ancillary care should be allowed once the floodgates are open for Pikuach Nefesh. Even things that are not life-threatening, life-saving by their own right could be allowed. And he bases it from the Gemara Maseches Menachos. The Gemara says even though the Hekter Chalavim Veivarim of a Karbon can really take place at night, nonetheless, when you shech the carbon on Shabbos, the Tmidim Umusafin, you're allowed to burn the Chalavim Veivarim on Shabbos itself. Kevin Shekvar Dochsa Shchita Esa Shabbos. Since Shchita pushed aside Shabbos and Shchita Tzavlacha, you're allowed to burn the Chalavim Veivarim on Shabbos too, even though it could have been done Motzei Shabbos. Why? So because Karbonos on Shabbos are Hutra. Since Karbonos on Shabbos are Hutra, once Shchita pushes aside Shabbos, so you're allowed to even do those things that didn't have to necessarily be done on Shabbos as well, on Shabbos too. So therefore, right, so Reb Avadya, once you push aside Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis, the floodgates are open just like by Karbonos, and just like you could burn the Chalom Veivarim on Shabbos, so too you could do the ancillary care on Shabbos as well. Even though it's not necessarily life-saving right now. However, the Avnei Nezer is a different shot, yes?
Isn't that for Shuvim and Tzvul Mashina?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that Hector Chalom Veivarim for different reason of Shuvim and Tzvul Mashina?
No, it's because Kevin Shekvar Dochsa Shisas and Shabbos. But therefore, says Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Avadya, would have had to have pushed aside Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis at least once. If you didn't push aside Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis, then you can't do this. But if at least you pushed aside Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis, then you could push aside even for other things. And the Rashash writes that even if you pushed aside Shabbos for on a different Shabbos, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis, if you eat chatzi shir, if you do chatzi melacha on one Shabbos, then you do a chatzi melacha on the next Shabbos, the two are mitzara for a chiyuv chatas. Because all Shabbosos are connected. We don't view it as the disjointed days, they're all like one unit. See, you do half a melacha on this Shabbos, half a melacha on this Shabbos, chayuv chatas. So too, if you violate Shabbos, if you call nefesh on this Shabbos, you could be doicha Shabbos for the ancillary care, shara tzarachav on the following Shabbos. However, the Avnei Nezer is a different pshat in that Magen Mishnah. Not that it's based on Hutra D'Chuyo, but rather based on the fact, an argument that the Radvaz has, that since a person is a Chayla Sheyesh Bo Sakana, so already he's in a precarious situation, so you never know what might tip the scales or in one direction or the other. So therefore, we could even be Derech HaShabbos for Shara Tzarachah, because you never know, moving the bed, it doesn't sound like it's something that really should be Nogea, the Etzem Sarkonis, but you never know, a person's uncomfortable, this might lead to that, might lead to a blood clot, might lead to this, might lead to that. You never know, a person's already in a touch-and-go situation. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos that if a child has a little eye ache, we push off the Mila. Why? The little eye ache is not Sarkonis Nefashis, because, so the Radvaz explains, no, because Mila itself is Sarkonis Nefashis. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Alecha Haragnu Kol Hayoyim. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, Zu Mila. Mila itself is Hakanas Nefashis. So an eye ache might tip the, you know, change the direction one way or the other. So since it's already Hakanas Nefashis, we're Mekel even by Shah Tzarachah. We're Chayshish even for that Chashash Rochach, which we normally would not have been Chayshish for. So it's what we hear, says Avnei Nezer, that's the Pshat and Shah Tzarachah. In which case, even if you were not Deicha Shabbos once, even if you're never Deicha Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis, you could be Deicha Shabbos for Shara Tzarachah. This comes up in Nafkamina between the Avnei Nezer and the Ravadius Pshat and Rabbi Chanan's Pshat that is based on Hutra, by a shayla that's discussed by the Mitzvah Aryeh that Rabbi Avadya quotes in the Chavadas about a person who needs a procedure done which involves Kilo Shabbos, but could really wait till Motzei Shabbos. So Rav Avadia argues, well, you could do it now. It's true, could wait till Motzei Shabbos, it's not the chuv, but it should be no worse than Shabbat HaRachav. It'd be better for the patient to have it over with. So you could do it now, it's no worse than Shabbat HaRachav. But according to Rav Avadia, that's only if you were once Doicha Shabbos for the Etzem Sakonis. If you weren't Doicha Shabbos yet at all, even if you were Doicha previous Shabbos, that's fine. But if you weren't Doicha Shabbos at all, you can't be Doicha Shabbos now. But according to the Avnei Nezer, even if you weren't Doicha Shabbos once already, you could be allowed this. This comes up by stitches. Where the kid falls down, gets a big gash. And you need to sew up the wound in order to, so that it shouldn't get infected. But you have some time to wait. You have, you know, depends who you talk to, depends on the gash. You can, you know, as long as it's been cleaned out, it won't get infected before you sew up the wound. You have time, you know, a few hours. So it could wait till Matzei Shabbos sometimes. It falls down Friday night, not, but depends which doctor you talk to. Sometimes the kid falls down, you know, early morning, afternoon, sometimes you could wait there, sitting in the, you know, have to sew it up now. And if stitches involve malacha, if some hold it involves malacha d'oraisa, some hold it's only malacha d'rabbanan, we don't have time to get involved in that whole details of that discussion. But whatever, Easter involved in stitches, so, but it could wait till Matzei Shabbos under certain circumstances. So you're obligated to wait till Matzei Shabbos, or could I do it now? So the Dr. Abraham in the Nishmas Avram quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman, should be no worse than Sar Tarochav, that since this is a chaylash yesh basakana, because it can get infected, even if you push it off, you know, you cleaned out the wound with iodine, you sit there with a bandage, you can wait till Matzei Shabbos, but since you violated Shabbos for the Etzem Sakonis and getting to the hospital and cleaning out the wound, you could put in the stitches now too. It should be no worse than Sar Tarochav. If you walked your kid to the hospital, I know a guy once walked 5 miles to the hospital, was never Bechal Shabbos for the real Sakonis. So then, that's the machlek between the Avnei Nezer and Rabbi Avadia. Can you be Bechal Shabbos now for Shar Tzarochav if you were never Bechal Shabbos for the Sakonis itself? But either way, it should be no worse than Shar Tzarochav. Whatever you hold by Shar Tzarochav, we could allow it. Or Shlomo Zalman discusses the stitches. Let's say you could get away with 2 stitches to close up the wound that it won't get infected, but it will look very ugly. Kid will be like, you know, a Frankenstein type thing, you know. So then, have a big scar. So that's not, so the doctor won't want it for his own, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, for his own reputation. But even if the doctor doesn't care about that, but perhaps you could allow the rest of the stitches because of Shabbos HaRochav. You allow the Mechal Shabbos for the Etzem Sakonis, to heal it up, stitch it up for the, it shouldn't get infected, and now you can do the rest for Shabbos HaRochav. Yeah.
And we said violating once, and it could even be on 3 weeks. Talking about as many times as long as it's for this situation.
Yes.
Obviously, but that's
correct.
And how far does that go? Over 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It's any
amount. I don't know. I think we could possibly like the Avnei Nezer if you were never Mechal Shabbos. Shechter likes the Avnei Nezer. Even if you were never Mechal Shabbos, you could be Mechal Shabbos and Shabbos HaRochav. But 1 minute, getting back, it depends now. If stitches are Malacha D'Oraisa, so according to the Be'er Halacha, you can't do it just for Shabbos HaRochav. Let's say you cleaned out the wound. Now you can wait to stitch up the wound till Matzei Shabbos. So he said, no, it's mutter now, Shabbos HaRochav. Even though you could wait till Matzei Shabbos, but you're ready for Mechal Shabbos, that's some sakana, so Shabbos HaRochav could be allowed. But if stitches involve, like some hold, a Malacha D'Oraisa, oh, you have a problem. The answer is you're going to go to the hospital, you'll ask for the plastics guy, hopefully to go. What if the guy's a Yid? Josh Goldberg, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, he's not a religious Jew. We have been involved in Malacha D'Oraisa. So, I think that the non-religious Jews working in the hospital could rely on Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim held Shar Tarachov, you know, is even D'Oraisa, so he doesn't have to be Machmer like the Be'er Halacha. It could be Malam Eschus that he could be make like Reb Chaim, that even Shar Tarachov could be allowed. It could be stitches don't involve in Malacha D'Oraisa in the first place, but even if it does, could be allowed in that situation. The one time where you'll have more of an issue is, let's say sometimes the doctors clean out the wound and say you don't have to stitch it off, it won't get infected, but you'll be left with a scar. Now he's no longer a chaylash yesh b'sakana. Once the doctors clean it out, there's no chaylash yesh b'sakana anymore. He left. A new person comes and all he has is a cosmetic wound. And if you wait till after Shabbos, the scar might start to form. Even if not, do you have to wait till after Shabbos? So here, I think Dr. Abraham quotes from Shlomo Zalman that this is no worse than a chayla she'ein bo sakana, and as long as the doctor is a guy, is a miro, you can have a miro l'nachri, is mutter for a chayla she'ein bo sakana, which we'll get to in a few minutes, and therefore you can allow him to heal it up because of the scar. Why is the scar a chayla she'ein bo sakana? Because this whole girl, the whole life, is going to go through, go through a cosmetic surgery later on in life to fix the scar that you left her with. So it's a chayla she'ein bo sakana. Her life is going to be impacted too severely, and therefore you could ask the nachri, you'd be making with the nachri to heal it up even for a scar. Yeah.
Would it be preferable for you, let's say you go to medical school, to give your kid stitches as opposed to calling the nachri, going to the hospital, and then like and going through the whole maisa, and then maybe ending up with a Jewish doctor, if you could probably have avoided that lechatchila by doing the stitches yourself in your house?
Are you just as good at it?
Probably not as good. Not as good as a plastic surgeon, but you could do a decent job if you went to medical school.
I don't think so. I'll tell you like this. I don't like people who call the doctor, the local Jewish Orthodox doctor, and ask him to stitch up the wound because I don't want to be Michal Shabbos to call Hatzalah and go to the hospital. So they go to the doctor, you know, the Jewish doctor lives locally. You be Michal Shabbos. I know doctors who turn them away. I'm not your Shabbos guy. Meaning, if someone's going to be Michal Shabbos, you understand, Rabbi, said, someone's going to be Michal Shabbos. So the father says, I don't want to be Michal Shabbos. I'll go to my doctor friend who lives across the street. Let him be Michal Shabbos. That's not right. If it's your kid, you need to take the kid to the hospital. I don't like people running across the street to the local Jewish doctor. But if you yourself know how to do it, put your life of your children in your own hands, I guess. If you did their mila, you could stitch up their, you know, the wound too. But if you're not that confident, I don't know. It depends on your knowledge and familiarity with stitches. How far does the Shatz HaRochav go? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch Shin Lamed Sifah Aleph that if you have Yoledes, who's even blind, but who wants, the lights go out in the room, but she's nervous that they're not going to take care of her properly, so she asks them to turn on the light on Shabbos. You're allowed to turn on the light on Shabbos in order to calm her down. Nothing to do with her care. Obviously, it has nothing to do with her care. If it has to do with her care, we have to turn on the lights ourselves. We have to wait for her to ask us. But even if she says she's nervous that the lights are off, even though it doesn't impact her directly, she's blind. Nonetheless, in order to calm her down, it would be allowed. Yisuvei daita. So you see, even the Malacha Deiraisa, it sounds like, just to calm her down, could be included in Shatz HaRochav. Nonetheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch Shin Vav Sif Tes, you can't ask a Nachri to go get your Karav. You know, let's say the guy wants, I want my mother here, you know, a woman is in labor, married woman, she wants her mother there, you know, so let's send a taxi for the mother, you know, allow the mother to drive. We can't allow that. That's too far. That's not Shatz HaRochav. That's not Shatz HaRochav. So what's the difference? Why is that not Shatz HaRochav? But lighting the candle is. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa explains, and Tzitz Eliezer is the same thing, because that's not relate to her care. That's who's going to come and calm me. That's not her care. The guide's dying, and he wants to make sure that he says certain things to people before he dies. You can't bring them on Shabbos. That's Shatz HaRochav. That's too far-fetched. But if it's something that relates to the care of the patient, then it can be allowed. I'm very impressed, guys. You all paid attention. Excellent. Very good. For this reason, I think that one could perhaps allow the doula to come. Did Rabbi Nuga mention the doulas? Yes. Al Shulchan Malachim, right? Right. So the doulas could come. I think I must have missed that one. The doulas could come. Even though there was an article in a journal called Or Yisrael, where the Nitei Gabriel, or Gabriel Tzinner, arguing, there was a whole discussion in Yisrael about whether or not a doula could come on Shabbos. It was kind of like a celebrated labor coach, but it's the same idea. Could she come on Shabbos? So it's only to relieve the pain. You know, they teach them breathing techniques and other pain techniques. So in order to come, in order to relieve the pain for the Yoledes on Shabbos. So the Or Yisrael, the Gavriel Tzinner, the Nitei Gavriel argues against it. This is only to relieve pain. That doesn't relate to her etzem care. So I think we could argue with his psak for many reasons. The first is because the statistics show that they reduce the likelihood of a cesarean section, which certainly is sakonis nefashos. Cesarean section is much more serious. Number two, the Nishmas Avram argues that it's always beneficial for a patient to have an advocate in the hospital because, as statistics show as well, patients who have advocates are taken better care of in the hospital than patients who do not have advocates. That's why it's always advantageous to have. That would be, I think, Rabbi Neuberger held with the Pikuach Nefesh itself to take a taxi there in order to make sure there's an advocate on Shabbos. So too over here, this woman is more knowledgeable and would be a better advocate than the husband. The husband doesn't know whether he's coming or going, and he's putting on his booties and already, she's in there ready to go. So she's much more helpful than he is. And the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa also quotes from Shlomo Zalman that to relieve pain on Shabbos itself, in its own right, is the proper care of the patient. That's not ancillary care. That is the care of the patient. That's why the Shevet Alevi writes to put in an epidural on Shabbos is allowed, even though it involves putting something into a vein. Pain relief on Shabbos is this etzem sakonis, even though putting it in a vein might involve malacha d'oraisa. Shmir Shabbos kochasa says the difference between regular injections and intramuscular injection, where there's not supposed to be bleeding. If a person bleeds, it's only because he doesn't know how to give an injection. But if a person knows how to give an injection, it's not supposed to be bleeding. And if it does, the davar shenei miskaven, the malacha shenei tzricha l'gufa. But to put in an intravenous, an IV on Shabbos might involve malacha d'oraisa, might not. Discussed with Shlomo Zalman, a sugya in Ksubis last year, if you learned it. Because maybe you need the blood, maybe the blood is only just to show you're in the right place, a whole discussion. But either way, the epidural or putting in an IV might involve a malacha d'oraisa, but even though it's just for pain relief, that is called the etzem sakonis. So also, even though this labor coach is just coming to relieve pain, perhaps she's an advocate and could lower the possibility of a cesarean section, therefore it can be allowed. Also, the Bi'ur Halacha says Shaar Tzarochov can be allowed, and this is no worse than Shaar Tzarochov, this doula. And even by Malacha D'oraisa, even according to the Bi'ur Halacha said the only time he limits it to the Rabbanan is if you know with certainty that it won't affect the outcome. It's not Nogea the Sarkonis itself, but if you don't know with certainty, so then not. And here we certainly don't know with absolute certainty that it won't affect the etzem sakonis. But Moshe also says what?
According to the Berlach, if it's a non-Jew, let's say you don't know with certainty, what would it be much to do there?
Even Dionysus, as long as you don't...
So that Jew does not fill
it. Yeah. Ramosha also argues that to allow the husband to go into the ambulance on Shabbos is one of Yisuve Daitas, to calm down the woman. Should be like turning on the candle, and could be allowed even though it involves a malacha d'oraisa. Nishmas Avraham mentioned also could be allowed for the husband to go in order to serve as an advocate. Shmuel Shabbos Kochaz is not sure that the malacha d'oraisa anyway for the husband to get in the ambulance. Rabbi Bleich has an article about this in his Contemporary Halachic Problems that they studied it in the old Belfer School of Mathematics that used to exist at one point or another, which closed under very controversial circumstances, if you're interested in looking into it. The Supreme Court case mentions Yeshiva University. But anyway, so they studied it. Do you use more gas because there's one more person riding in the ambulance? And they determined that it was impossible to determine because there are too many variables. It depends on who's driving and the weight of the car, and if it's too heavy, if one person's negligible. It depends on the road surface and how the... Anyway, so it's not clear at all that there's malacha involved in one extra person getting into the ambulance, but even if there would be, that could be allowed based on those concerns that we mentioned. Another situation that might be Shaar Tzarochov is very common and getting increasingly common, and that is a woman who wants to pump milk on Shabbos for her baby. People like to give, they like to nurse their babies rather than feed them formula, some do. And therefore, she wants to pump milk for the baby because sometimes, you know, the woman has more milk than the baby wants to drink or interested in drinking. She wants to pump milk for the baby and put it into a kli on Shabbos. So that involves a malacha d'oraisa, mefarik, it's mamash a malacha d'oraisa. Even if she uses a mechanical pump, it's a malacha d'oraisa. And even if you turn on the machine with your toe or have enough to turn it on to keep it attached to her body, it involves a malacha d'oraisa. Nonetheless, the Nishmas Avram quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman and Chazanish that if you have a premature baby, let's say it was in the hospital, it's a chayla sheyesh, but sakana can be allowed. Why can it be allowed? Because this is the natural food of the baby, and as doctors have shown, there are certain antibodies in a mother's milk that prevent infection. Even though we would not compel every woman to nurse, because I say a woman says, I don't want to nurse, you want to feed the baby formula. We wouldn't compel her to nurse because there's so much antibodies that this is something that everybody must do. Maybe some would, but I wouldn't. But nonetheless, once the child is already a chayla sheyesh basakana, it can be allowed, even though it's a malacha d'oraisa, because it is shaar tzarochov. There might be antibodies in the milk which prevent infection. If the child is 6 months old and has been home, and the child is already eating carrot sticks, and the mother wants to pump into a bottle on Shabbos to give to the baby, I don't think there's any room to allow. The child has to be a chayla sheyesh basakana. Even though the Gemara says that every tinuk is mesukan etzel chalav, or tzi pesach frank as a tshuva in the har tzvi, that's when they had nothing else to feed the baby. Let's say the baby will mamash starve unless he has mother's milk. Okay, fine. But most babies, you can force them to eat other things. The baby will be hungry enough, will eat something else. So tzi pesach frank writes that kula of the Gemara, that stam tinuk mesukan etzel chalav, the Gemara Nivamis, no longer applies in our time. What is considered to be a chayla sheyesh bo sakana? So the Gemara says in the Shulchan Aruch, right?
So you can pump milk on Shabbos?
If it's a child who's in a NICU unit.
Okay.
My opinion, every child who's in a NICU unit is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, otherwise the insurance wouldn't pay for it. So, but if a child is not in a NICU unit, they're not a premature baby, but there's so many premature babies nowadays, it's unbelievable. But if the child is at home, 5 months old, and the mother is just getting frustrated feeding the baby, and she'd rather put it into a bottle, I don't think there's any room to be made for. You'll hear people quote the Gemara, Stam Stilok Mesut Kenegit Ocholah, but in my opinion, that's a mistake. Frank already has a tshuva that... that doesn't apply to Aaron. Children can be fed something else. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure the Shulchan Aruch and Shem Klav Ches also said that any katan stam is always like a full. Chayal
she ain bo sakana.
Right. So
we'll get to that.
We also say that nowadays, be given like.
Of course. Yes. We'll get to 1 second. Literally 1 second. What is called a chayal she yesh bo sakana? So it says in Shulchan Aruch Shem Klav Ches Siv Gimel that it's any ma'akash al chalal, anything that even from the teeth and within, a dental abscess, let's say, that could get infected is also a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, and the rule of the Aruch HaShulchan here applies. We all know what's called a life-threatening illness. We know it's from the week. We know it's from life experience. So whatever we view as a life-threatening illness during the week, we should view as a life-threatening illness on Shabbos as well. Rav Shechter in the Bikvei Hatzon and Nefesh HaRav quotes in the name of Rav Chaim that even a psychological illness could be deemed a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. Rav Moshe quotes Rashi in the Sechtes Tainus that it's only if the person is suicidal, but the Rav Salavechik disagreed in the name of Rav Chaim. That even if it's just a quality of life issue, quality of life could also sometimes be called a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. I like to say that's the pshat in the Yushalmi that is quoted by the Mordechai Mesechtes Baba Basra, who holds that to distribute stucca funds you need 23 dayonim. Why? Because distributing stucca is a matter of nefashis. How is it a matter of dine nefashis? Because a quality of life, who gets more money? Not a matter of who's going to die or live, but it's who gets more money, who has what quality of life, also could be called dine nefashis, and therefore could require 23 dayanim. Or if Shafi likes to quote the Yushalmi, that's quoted by Yosef Engel in his tshuva to the Aguna, he quotes it in the Ginas Egos, that Rav Yosef Engel quotes in the Yushalmi that says, were it not for the fact that being Matar and Eshes Ish would be Gili Arayas, we would allow every Aguna based on the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh. Unfortunately, allowing an Eshes Ish is Yaharik Valyavar, but were it not for that fact, Yushalmi says it would be Pikuach Nefesh to have a situation of Aguna, because quality of life issues could also be called Pikuach Nefesh, and so to over here by psychological illness as well. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Shin Lamed Sif Aleph that clearly a situation of Leida on Shabbos is that of Pikuach Nefesh, but nonetheless the Shulchan Aruch says you should try and lower the Iser as much as possible. Now that's noteworthy because the Ramah held that's true by every situation of Pikuach Nefesh, but the Shulchan Aruch did not. Yet, by a Yoledes, the Shulchan Aruch says you should try and lower the level of Iser as much as possible. The Magen Mishnah says it's Davka by a Yoledes. Why is it Davka by a Yoledes? So Briski Rav has a small sefer on Sukkah, Yuma, and Kiddush HaChodesh. So in that small sefer on Yuma, he explains that there's two dinim over here by Yoledes. There's one din that Leida is called the Sakanas Nefasos. That's in Siman Shin Lamed Sif Aleph. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to try and lower the level of Iser as much as possible. But then you have in Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch discusses what's called the Yoledes. So Shulchan Aruch says only Mishayashva Lamashber, or this dam that's coming out, you might be familiar with this discussion from Hilchas Nida, what is called the Yoledes? So until she's Yashva Lamashber, she's not a Yoledes. So what does that mean, says the Briski Rav? You can't get her to the hospital until she's Yashva Lamashber? Until she's bleeding? She's not a Yoledes to be Mechal HaShabbos? So Brisker Rav says, no, there's two dinim over here. There's the din, not the classical Brisker two dinim. There's two separate discussions. There's one discussion of a Leida. Birth is a Sakanas Nefashos. But that is a regular occurrence. That's not an illness. So the Shulchan Aruch holds, that's different than any other illness. And therefore you have to try as part of life, the cycle of life. And therefore you have to try and lower the level of Iser as much as possible. And but you have a heter pikuach nefesh. Then there's a yoledes that when she's in labor, she's like no other every other chayla, and you don't have to try and lower the level of isurim as much as possible. But before you get to that, before she becomes an imminent, it's imminent discussion, it's birth in general, getting her to the hospital, okay? But once she's a yoledes, than any other chayla, and you don't have to try and lower the level of Yisurim as much as possible. You can do whatever you would normally do for the chayla. The Briski Rav makes such a distinction by on Yom Kippur, that before a person is a chayla, before he's in a life-threatening situation, he has to drink shiurim. That's what the Gemara means. You have to eat with shiurim. Once a person's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, once a person's a yoledes already, then no difference in any other chayla. And they don't have to eat with shiurim. You have the heter shah tarachav, even by dairaisas, even by Yom Kippur, which is dechuyu by pikuach nefesh. If you've seen the piece, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so that's what the Brisker Rav says. So lamaisa yoledes has the heter of shah tarachav. Yoledes, once she's a yoledes, you don't have to try and lower over the level of Isa, she's no different than any other chayla. We're just talking about before she's actually actively in birth, you know, actively giving birth, later in general, to get it to the hospital, you're right, there's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, but here, the Magen Mishnah throws in, you have to try and lower the level of Isa as much as possible. Okay? But that is also considered to be a bona fide situation of chayla sheyesh b'sakana, would have all the says regular halachas. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches Lo Sif Yud Zayin that Sakanas Eiver is not Kisakanas Nefashas, as we've mentioned. You only have the head to be violate Shabbos by an Issa Derabbanan, but as we said practically, in the name of Nishmas Avram and Rabbi Nuberger mentioned it, practically we treat every Sakanas Eiver like a Sakanas Nefashas. But when it comes to another type of Chayla She'en Bo Sakana, not a Sakanas Eiver, the Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Zayin brings three opinions as to what you can be Mako on. And we Paskin that you could be Mako by, it brings four opinions about what you could be Mako for a Chayla She'en Bo Sakana. And we pass like the third opinion that any Kalachar Yad or Amir Lenachri could be allowed. Every Sakana Sevi could be Mako on all the Rabbanans, but when it comes to Chayla She'en Bo Sakana, you could only be Mako by Kalachar Yad or Amir Lenachri. The Ramah seems to contradict himself, though. Because the Ramah, the Mefarshim asks, that's in Sif Yud Zayin. The Ramah in Shin Chav Ches Sif Lamed Zayin quotes the heter of taking medication on Shabbos. Taking medication on Shabbos is Issa Midrabbanan of Gzeira Shemi Yemachik Samimonim. You might come to grind it up, in which case you violate the Malachot Deiraisa of Teichin. So, but taking medication is only Issa Midrabbanan. And yet the Ramah allows it for Chayla She'en Bo Sakana. The problem is, that's not Kelacha Yad, and that's not Amir Lenachri. In Sif Yud Zayin, he only allowed Kalacha Yad or Amir Lenachri. So the Bir HaLachon, the Mishnah, quotes from the Mishkan of Yaakov in Sif Lamed Zayin, who disagrees. He says, you're right, you have no heter. No heter of medication for Chayla She'en Bo Sakana. But the Mishnah Berurah in Sifka and Kuf Chaf Aleph quotes in the name of the Radvaz, who distinguishes between, Rav Shechter expands upon this in Eretz HaTzvi, between a Malacha Derabbanan and a Gzeira Derabbanan. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos explains that there's two types of Yisurim Derabbanan on Shabbos. There's what he calls a Malacha Derabbanan and a Gzeira Derabbanan. Some things they ask because it's too similar to Malacha Deraisa. That's a Malacha Derabbanan. Writing with your left hand. There's a Malacha, you might come to write with your right hand. But then there's a Gzeira Midrabbanan. You're not allowed to take medication because you might come to grind up medications, which might be Teiche. So, but that's, you might not allowed to do this, you might come to do that. Malacha Derabbanan is, this is Asma Derabbanan because it's similar to the Malacha Deraisa. It's a nuanced difference. So the Mishnah Berurah's opinion is, and quotes the name of the Radvaz, is we could allow all gzeiros derabanan, like taking medication, not doing this, you might come to do that, for a chayla she'en bo sakana, that's included in the list with kalacha yad and amir lenachri. So it's kalacha yad, amir lenachri, and all gzeiros derabanan. But malachas derabanan, not. So according to this, by the way, you'd be allowed to ask a nachri to go to a store and buy medication for you. Amir lenachri, handling, you know, mekachu memkar, is only also because of Gzeira Shem Yichtov, so could in theory be allowed.
Which is the Mekul and Gzeira
Derabbanan? Gzeira Derabbanan is more far fetched. Malacha Derabbanan is close to Malacha Deraisa. However, it's Malacha Derabbanan than not. Rav Shechter discusses whether Malacha Shein Tzrich Leguf is a Malacha Derabbanan, Gzeira Derabbanan is Tiltum Buksa, Malacha Derabbanan, Gzeira Derabbanan. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Kuf Beis quotes in the name of the Chayei Adam that perhaps you can be Mekel by all the Rabbanans. Malacha the Rabbanan, Gzeira the Rabbanan, if it's Efshar Binyan Acher, he says you can be Mekel by all the Rabbanans, some Paskin like that, L'chachila. So, okay, you have different views in the Paiskim, depends who you talk to. Some say we can be Mekel by Chayei Shein Bo Sakana by all the Rabbanans. But those who adhere more to what it says in the Mishnah Berurah over there in Kuf Chaf Aleph, later on in Kuf Beis, earlier in Kuf Beis, is quoted from the Chayei Adam. You can look it up. Shulchan Aruch HaRav also seems to say all the Rabbanans, like Leital, complicated issue.
But it's all allowed or it's all not
allowed? All allowed. But at least a strict reading of the Mishnah Berurah is, Shulchan Aruch is a Gzeiros Derabbanan, Kalach HaYad, and Amir
Lenachri. So what happened to those two categories if you say it's all allowed?
All the Rabbanans are allowed. wouldn't make a difference. Malacha derabanan, zera derabanan. Let's say though to come back from a hospital on Shabbos. So to come back from a hospital on Shabbos, as we'll get to in a second, could be a chayla she'ein bo sakana. It's hard to spend Shabbos in a hospital. It's hard to function normally in a hospital waiting room. Let's say your insurance runs out, you know, and you're out. They're done taking care of you. So to spend, or you go into the hospital and you had, it was the gas. It wasn't the heart attack. So now you're going to be stuck there. So you're allowed to come home or not. So you ask a taxi to bring you home. You handle money, which is probably only tiltul muksa, which is gzeira shema, you know, also maybe you will eat a haitza. Gzeira derabanan. So to take a taxi back, a meal and achri, zera derabanan, muksa can all be allowed. Even though tchumin is a machlekes, whether tchum Shabbos, I say the hospital is outside of your tchum Shabbos might only be the shaila is the tchumin yosem yud beiz mil deiraisa derabanan. The Rama quotes one opinion that all of tchumin is only derabanan. See, we make it like that to come home from the hospital on Shabbos. What is called a chayla she'ein bo sakana though? We discussed what's mutar for chayla she'ein bo sakana. What's called a chayla she'ein bo sakana? So the Rama writes that Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, that if it's nafal lemishkov, that's the quoting from the Rambam, nafal lemishkov, if he's fallen to his bed, that's a chayla she'ein bo sakana. However, it doesn't seem to be limited to a person who's literally fallen to his bed. How do you know? So Rav Shechter in the Bikvei Atzon argues based on a Rama there. The Rama says we award all children the status of a chayla she'ein bo sakana. Why do we award in Zemachlekes how old of a child? Yasha, you can look in the Svarim, how old of a child? Some say up till 9, some say up till 3. Probably depends on the issue. Whatever the child throws a temper tantrum about an issue, whatever age he's going to throw a temper tantrum about the issue. Why do we treat a child as a chayla she'ein bo sakana? Why do we award them that status? And therefore the Rama says you could cook. Let's say the child wants an omelet on Shabbos, the Nachri could cook for him, since eggs are probably not oil al shulchan malachim, he probably cook for the child on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to cook for the child on Shabbos? Make him toast. Why are you allowed to cook? The Nachri is allowed to cook for the child on Shabbos. Chayla she'ein bo sakana. Why? So Shechter explained, because if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to throw a temper tantrum. So he'll cry, so what? That's part of life. The answer is no, since the child can't function normally, can't do what he normally does. So then obviously we see that's also included in a chayla she'ein bo sakana. So if Shechter argues from there, it doesn't literally mean the child has fallen ill to bed. From the fact that we award that status to all children, must be that it's a broader category. Or the Rama says, in Simeration and Gimel, if you remember, oh, we don't do Bishul anymore. But we used to remember from Hilchos Bishul, in Simeration and Gimel, that you're allowed to ask the Nachri to turn on the heat on Shabbos. Because Hakol Chaylem Eitzel Tzina. Everyone is a Chayla when it comes to the cold. Why is everyone a Chayla when it comes to the cold? Not because you could catch cold and you'll get sick and you might die from pneumonia. It's because you can't function normally when it's cold outside. You sit with a blanket shivering. That's a Chayla already. Even though you're not lying in bed. But you can't do what you normally like to do. That's already a chayla. That's why the Dayan Weiss writes in the Minchas Yitzchak that we also apply the rule hakol chaylam etzel hachaim. When if it's too hot for you, even though in the olden days, how did they survive without air conditioning? The answer is they were just hot. They lived life hot. But nowadays people are more sensitive, and if you're not going to do what you can normally do when it's hot outside, so we would apply the rule hakol chaylam etzel hachaim. You'd be able to ask the nachri. Let me just finish. Be able to ask the Nachri, let's say, to turn on the air conditioner as well. That's why in the Sefer Birchas Banim is a Sefer on the issues of fertility. You should be aware of it. You should have it. Called through the name of Rabbi Yaakov Breish, the Chalkas Yaakov, the Shevet Alevi, Rabbi Moshe, that a couple is having trouble giving, conceiving. So fertility medications would also be called a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. Even though no one's lying in bed ill, but they can't function in the way they would like to function, the normal function of life that you're not able to accomplish. So it'll also be called the Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. Or Dayan Weiss discusses Viagra, which Rabbi Neuberger spent a long time discussing. So that also might be a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana, since some argue it's a Sakana's Eiver. Nishmas Avram writes, it's no different than a Sakana's Eiver, which you're allowed to take medication for. Because here, that part, that Eiver isn't functioning normally. And even though the Eiver is there, but it's not functioning at its, normally, so then perhaps it's called a Sakana Saver. So too, perhaps Viagra too would be Sakana Saver. But one could also argue it's a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. That part of his body is not functioning normally. You don't have to be bed stricken. It could be considered to be Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. Or caffeine pills, or sleeping pills. Usually it's the same people who ask both, because they took the caffeine pill in the morning, and I need a sleeping pill at night to go to sleep. or birth control, all of these things. A woman gets pregnant, she doesn't want to get pregnant, or whatever, that's going to affect her life. She won't be able to function in what she would call normally. Which goes back to our Isha section. Okay, so all of these things, once you have this broader definition of what's called the Chayla Shein Bo Sakana, perhaps all of these things could be included. Let me just finish up. Time is late already. We have two more issues left. So the taking medication, though, in general, is also, as we mentioned, because you might come to grind up the medication. Even if you will grind up our contemporary pills, you will not be in violation of teichin at all. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes, "Ein teichin acher teichin." Our pills are made from already ground up medications. Unless you're into homeopathy, that you grind it up in one of those bowls with, you're not going to violate teichin. So it's impossible nowadays to violate teichin. So the Kseis HaShulchan discusses, why is it usher anymore nowadays taking medication? Shouldn't be usher at all. Because even if you actually grind up the medication, it won't be you won't violate teichin. Maybe Neuberger dealt with that discussion. But why is taking medication usher? Why does it continue to be usher? But it is, we paskin, it does continue to be usher. Gzeira Shemi Yimachik Samimanim, even though it's probably far-fetched at this point. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Chav Ches, Sif Chav Aleph, and Lamed Zayin, that there are two exceptions, there's an exception to this rule, and that of the Isar of taking medication, and that is if it's Michael Brian, then they were never geyser. And that could come in two forms. Either it's something that even healthy people do, like chicken soup. The chicken soup has medicinal properties, but even healthy people eat chicken soup. So even if I'm doing it for the medicinal properties, but since healthy people do it, I'm allowed to do it too. Or it could be in a situation of, it is a medication, but I'm not sick. Let's say, I like Halls. You know, the medication, the throat lozenge. I like a mashugana, you like it. So fine, you want to take Halls, because into it. Ludens is a candy, mamish. But if you like Halls, so fine, okay, mashugana. But he's not sick, so then it could be allowed. So these two heterim of these two forms of myocobrium could also perhaps allow other medications as well. They quote in the name, they said it, Reb Henkin's Levaya. In his name, that you could allow birth control because of this heter of Michael Briam. He said, who's sick? No one's sick. But we could allow it, perhaps, because of Chayla Shein Bo Sakana, she'll get pregnant. And preventative medication is allowed. But Rabbi Henkin allowed it, and others allowed it as well. Tzitzeliezer, the Chalkas Yaakov, because no one's sick. Or vitamins. Who's sick? No one's sick. The Michael Briam. Or Aaron Soloveitchik said aspirin also could be mutter. People took it as a blood thinner to prevent strokes or things like that. So also, who's sick? Also, perhaps you could allow different things like that. Others argue that that's perhaps not, but in each one of these things are all debatable, but those are some of the svaras that I mentioned.
What about aspirin to prevent the headache?
Yeah. Someone's sick now. Oh, but it's preventative medication.
You don't have a headache yet. You just know it's coming.
Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Chav Bei, Chav Ches, I'm sorry, in Sifkat and Kuf Chav, that even if it's just a Chazei Gufo is usher. Even if it's just to make you stronger, it's aser. So therefore, Rav Shechter and Rav Shlomo Zalman as well, aser vitamins. Vitamins make you stronger. Because of that, and it's a medication. So Rav Shechter thought vitamins are no different than any medication. They make you stronger, and therefore cannot be allowed on Shabbos. But because of that, Rav Shechter held as a medication, and even if it contains macholos asurois, it could be allowed. Like a pill contains macholos asurois. It's not food, it's medicine. So food, the pills that contain macholos asuris, we don't have time to get into that discussion in full, but it could be allowed. Rav Moshe disagrees in a lengthy tshuva. Rav Moshe says vitamins are not medication, they're food. They're food supplements. People don't eat properly, so they take vitamins to supplement their diet. Because of that, he allowed it on Shabbos. But at the same time, they quote in the name of Rav Moshe, it's in the OU documents also, that vitamins have to be kosher. Rav Shechter understood as l'shitasai. Since it's a food supplement, it also has to be kosher. And he said, it's not mechazek gufo. How can you say it's mechazek gufo vitamins on Shabbos? There's no discernible change. You take the medicine, it does nothing. Rabbi Willig allowed vitamins on Shabbos in Gansan. He said vitamins do absolutely nothing, except have you expensive, give you expensive bowel movements. He said, but otherwise, the vitamins do nothing. The vitamins do nothing. He's not a believer in the vitamins. But if, that's Rabbi Willig. Take it. But otherwise, you have this machlek scene of Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe, whether or not you can take vitamins on Shabbos, and it would also be an afkamina whether or not they have to be kosher or not. Rav Shachta did say that if you take vitamins every day preventatively, so then that's not a medication. The problem is he lives within his own practice. Rav Shachta only takes vitamins when he's sick. After he's sick, I tried to explain to him, maybe it doesn't work like that. You take the vitamin C after you're already sick, it doesn't do anything. But that's the way he does. So he only takes vitamins if he's sick, so it's a medicine, haste us. But if you take it every day, so then enochinami, it might be mychobrium. It wouldn't have to be kosher, you could still take a tray for vitamin, but it might be mychobrium that you could take it even on Shabbos. A prenatal vitamin, what I understand from doctors, that has iron and all these different types of things, a folic acid, that's mamish that comes nefashis. They determine that really affects the health of the baby. So that surely could be allowed. And even though it's just preventative medication, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem that there was this thing called chiltis. Chiltis was this medication which you didn't have to take. If you didn't take it, you weren't going to die. But if you took it Thursday, Friday, if you didn't take it Shabbos, you would be in a sakana. So the Gemara says, even though you didn't have to take it, once you start taking it Thursday, Friday, you're allowed to take the last doses on Shabbos, because otherwise now it'll be sakana nefashis. So you're allowed to put yourself, you're allowed to take it to prevent sakanas nefashis. Okay? Rather than enter into a situation of sakanas nefashis, you're allowed to take this chiltis. Also based on this Gemara was a source for the idea that Rav Neuberger mentioned, the name of Shlomo Kluger, that you're allowed to take any medicine that's in a series. How are you allowed to start taking it? Thursday, Friday, Shabbos? So Shlomo Kluger said you're allowed to take anything that comes in a regimen. Even though you're going to have to take it on Shabbos, as long as it's part of a regimen, you're allowed to take it. And Ramesha disagreed. Ramesha said, no. That's because here, you're going to die. It's a preventative medication. If you don't take it now, you're going to die. But Shlomo Kluger said, perhaps what allowed you to start taking it in the first place was that it was part of a regimen, and since it was part of a regimen, you're allowed to take it. The last thing I want to mention is the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches Sif Mem Beis discusses doing exercise on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So Mr. Brewer says, because when you sweat, so there were medications that induce sweat, and if you sweat, it might lead you to take a medication that induces sweat. So it's like included in the Gzeira on the Isur of Refuah B'Shabbos. Might come to grind up medications. Therefore, Rabbi Neuberger argued that physical therapy, which cannot be accomplished by any medication, it's not going to lead you to take a medication. There is no medication that will help you. Perhaps physical therapy wouldn't be included. But Melamed Lahoro, David Zvi Hoffman and the Tzitz Eliezer, both discuss exercising on Shabbos, and they say it cannot be allowed, but if you're not going to, it's not nikar that it's for a refuah, let's say you want to take a walk. It's not a guy to take a Shabbos spatzir. Even if I have in mind, for health purposes, that you know I can walk off some of that kishka that you ate, but it's Michael Briam, healthy people also, shockingly, you know, take walks. So since healthy people do it too, it could be allowed. If you put on your walking shoes and you're power walking, that's obvious. They're not. What if you're not going to lead you to sweat? It's not going to lead you to sweat. So the whole issue was because the sweating could induce, you know, they could accomplish sweating with a medication, might be to grind the medications on Shabbos. So what if you're not going to sweat? So if Sternbach has a tshuva, the tshuva is von Hoggis, that if you're not going to sweat, then it could be allowed. Rav Shachta didn't like that. There was probably never a medication that induced sweat. I tried to do research on this. Was there ever a sweat-inducing medication?
Why would you take a sweat-inducing
medication? Yeah, why would you? Yeah. Well, people go to the Schwitz. People go to the Schwitz. They used to believe sweating was a healthy thing. But I don't think there was ever a medication that induced sweat. I think what sweating is sweating shows that you're doing something. You're not just breathing. You know, you're doing, say, you're not just alive. You're doing exercise. How do you put the barometer? Exercise versus just being alive. If you're sweating, then you're doing exercise. But exercise is also because there's a tangible change. It helps you. It's like a chaze gufoy. So anything, Rav Shachta thought also, anything that's exercise, even if you're not sweating, it's clearly exercise. Like say you put on your walking shoes and you go power walking on Shabbos, even if it doesn't induce sweat, it would be also. He also didn't like a distinction between maintenance versus improving, getting stronger. I think maybe Neuberger wants to try to distinguish like that. Rav Shachta was not in favor of that in that either. But let's say you just enjoy exercise. Guy says, I want to play ball on Shabbos, have a ball game, we want to go walking. It's just what I enjoy. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, if that's what you enjoy, it can be allowed. Because the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Aleph, Sif Aleph, calls the Bachurim, little children, whom is Angim Beritza, are allowed to run on Shabbos. Even though we don't run on Shabbos, Lucha B'Shabbos, Ki Lucha B'Chayel, we only run to do a mitzvah, or run to shul, but to stam go jogging on Shabbos is not proper. But little children who enjoy running on Shabbos, it is allowed. But not adults. Why not adults? Why can't it be an adult who enjoys jogging? So the Magen Avraham and the Taz explained there was no such thing. There is no such thing. If you ask an adult, why are you jogging? Why are you exercising? Most adults will tell you, even though they're endorphins and they feel good about it, I know all that. But in the end of the day, why do they do it? For the health benefits. Because they feel better, because they feel healthier, they feel more invigorated, because of the health benefits. There is no such, if you have such an adult that that's how he enjoys passing his time is by doing exercise, you know, but not for any health benefits at all, then I would just tell him, Stam is Bittul Torah. And Shabbos is set aside for Talmud Torah, not for your play ball every other day during the week. But in Shabbos, you should be learning Torah. But yeah, but most adults, I think, if you get down to the bottom of it, will just tell you it's because of the health benefits that
I thought healthy people are allowed to take medicine.